about 2 years ago, Walton.
Pardon?
I seen him, I think, the last year, the year before down in Florida.
Yeah, he's, I spoke with him, oh, it's been a year ago. Again, a very nice fellow. He said that the guys you see in the major leagues are not the best players, are the survivors.
Yeah, that's it. That's the way they do it. They put you on what they call a 3 or 4 year program. If you don't cut the mustard at the end of 3 or 4 years, they just tell you to take a hike.
Yeah.
They don't keep anybody. You know, some of the kids that back in our era might play 7, 8 years in the minors before they got developed and made a big league ball team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they worked and worked and worked, and got their break at that position, and came up and did the job for maybe another 5 or 6 years.
And that wasn't, that was not a novelty then. Now when you find a fellow who's been in the minor leagues 7, 8, 9 years, he's a dinosaur. I mean, people look at him, and but back in your day, that was not unusual. It was not unusual for a 30-year-old rookie to make a team.
Well, it wasn't unusual for, you know, 30-year-old, 28, 29-year-old kid, to, you know, kid, you might say, a rookie to come up and play.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically they had to work that long to develop all their skills. They just couldn't develop them when they were younger. You know, they were slow learners.
Yeah, and some... They are slow matures. There's no question about that.
No question about that. That's what I stress with all these kids. I say, you know, I look at little league teams, and it's a big example of the little league teams. I asked the guy the other day, I said, how many kids you got playing baseball at 7, 8 years old? And the guy said, 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I said, how many kids you got playing 16 and 17? I said, about 30.
Yeah.
I said, what happened to the other 970 kids? Oh, they just didn't make it. I said, well, how do you know a kid that's 7 or 8 today, just because he didn't make it when he was 16, you mean you're telling me that you wrote him off?
Yeah.
You know, and this kid might have no more talent now than the kids that are playing, but he couldn't play because there was no place to play.
Yeah, there are, fortunately, I guess this is fortunate, there are a whole lot more opportunities for kids to play now than when I was a kid, and I guess...
But they don't let them play longer. They don't let them play long enough.
That's true. That's very true.
Every time a kid gets a year older, there's less places to play.
Yeah.
And if you don't develop it, if the kid ain't a good whirlwind at 11, 12 years old, he's through.
Yes, I see that. I coached a Babe Ruth League team for several years, and I came to the conclusion that the only parents who should be allowed to come to games or if the parents were allowed to come again, they should be locked in a soundproof booth across the street.
My kids like hockey.
Yeah.
Because the parents are over in the stands behind the glass.
Yeah, great.
Behind the other glass, and they can't hear a damn word the parents say.
That's the way it needs to be.
And the parents can't get out of the team and coach the kids. You know, they can't skate on the ice and say, here, you got to do this, do that. We're at baseball. You know, the father can walk right out of the middle of the diamond and tell his kid to do something.
It happens all the time.
You know, and then what are you going to do? But in hockey, they can't do it because most of them can't skate.
Yeah, thank good Lord.
They're going to fall on their rear end. So they're going to, it's a better sport. That's why my kids all took up hockey. They weren't that good at baseball, but they enjoyed hockey because they had a chance to do what they wanted, and they played right up through high school.
Well, it was my opinion that if a kid came out for a baseball team, he ought to be allowed to play.
They have to encourage these kids to continue whether they're good or not.
Yeah, I had, you know, you carry 15 kids on the team, and I had some boys that the nicest thing you could say about them was that they did show up. I mean, they were awful. But doggone it, they showed up. So as far as I was concerned, if they showed up, they played. They may not have played but a couple innings, but doggone it, they got out there. And they got an at-bat in every game, and they got at least a field a couple innings in every game.
Yeah,
and
that was the other thing that I didn't like about Little League, you know, the 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids. I used to take my kids, I had two of them, I used to take them out to the game, okay?
Uh-huh.
They'd show up to the game. They would put, they get in the batting order, you know, 15, 16 in the batting order, and they have to hit in order.
Yeah.
You know, they have to bat around, and... So they, you know, the kids that didn't hit too good always were the kids that hit 15, 16, 17 in the lineup.
Right.
So, and then of course the coach would go up when they did come up to hit, they were so scared, the coach would go up and tell them, don't swing. They couldn't walk. And then when it was their turn to go in the outfield or play in the field for 2 minutes, they'd put them out in right field or center field. You know, nobody ever hit a ball out there.
Right. And they never worked with them.
So they spent 2 hours at a ball game, never hit a ball, never caught a ball, never threw a ball. Now, what kind of baseball do you call that?
It is sorry. It is, and it's a crying shame.
See, my theory would be just the opposite. My theory would be take these kids until they get about 11 or 12 years old and let their own coach pitch to them.
Good.
No
yeah.
strikeouts, no walks. Everybody hits the ball. Whether you underhand it, overhand it, depending on the kid's ability, whether you throw it hard, whether you throw it easy, whether you throw it medium.
Yeah, whatever you have to do, yeah.
Whatever you have to do, let the kid hit the ball.
Yeah.
You know what happens. Somebody's got to catch it. Somebody's got to throw it. And somebody's got to catch it again. Now you've got everything going.
Great.
Catching and throwing.
Well, I told my boys.
I don't care if you only played one inning. Each kid might bat 20 times.
Yeah.
But when the 20 times is over, that kid would be exhausted running, and he would really have a ball.
And you didn't need to keep score.
And you wouldn't have to keep score. You
wouldn't,
do nothing. You wouldn't have to worry about who had the best earned run average, who's got the best batting average, who's got the best save, what team finished first, what team finished last. You know, who cares?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, when they get 17, 18, then worry about who's winning and stuff like that.
But you've got your parents yelling at you, and some of them are unbelievably abusive.
Yeah.
One of the most frustrating experiences of my life. I have a team of, what do they call, Stan Musial League team this year when the kids are 18 and up, and maybe I won't have the parental problem, I hope. It certainly is discouraging, and it's got to be equally or more so discouraging for the children.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, we've gotten far afield. Let's go back to your career. Did you save souvenirs from your career?
Very few, because back then there was all, you know, people. My mother and dad kept clippings and stuff of that nature. I kept a few baseballs, my 20th win and stuff like that. But not too much stuff. I got a White Sox shirt and a Philadelphia shirt that I kept.
But you weren't a big collector.
But nobody was a big collector.
No. That's pretty much what they tell. Every once in a while, some of the fellows, they knew a news service photographer or something and were able to get photographs that was given to them, extra photographs.
You odds and ends, you know, different places and different ball games, and you pitch a ball game, and the next day there's a picture in the paper of you doing something. Normally, if you asked the writer if he could get you a copy, more likely he would get you a copy of it.
Yeah.
It was in the paper or something like that, but you didn't, you know, that was about it.
It's a big deal now.
Oh, yeah. It's baseball cards, same thing with baseball cards. Nobody ever kept them.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big business. My next question is, do you get fan mail? But let me tell you, before you answer that, when this interview appears in the magazine, your fan mail will probably triple for a period of 2 or 3 weeks after it appears. Good.
I'm retired. I got all day to do this.
All right.
In fact, I just answered one today.
Do you get much fan mail?
Maybe a couple a week.
Okay. I'm surprised. I would. You were a top pitcher. I would thought you would have gotten a little.
As you get older, less remember.
I guess that's true.
The ones that usually are out there as a collector is trying to get it, make a set or something.
Yeah.
Or something from the old group or something like that.
Well, one fellow told me he averaged about 4 or 5 a week. But in the first week after the interview I did with him appeared in the magazine, he got 100 requests that week alone.
Yeah.
So I think that was rather extreme, but nonetheless, you will get an increase for a little while.
Okay, no problem with that.
Good. I like their attitude. There's too many.
I believe in the theory that it was an honor to be asked.
Oh, sure it was. Don't do it.
Anybody ask you for your autograph, you thought, geez, boy, that's great. Now they tell you don't do it unless you bring some money.
Yeah, that's sick.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the agents.
Well, yeah, that's true.
city agents tell the players don't sign, because if you sign, I can't get you autograph sessions where you can make 15, 20 bucks a signature.
And, you know,
that's ridiculous.
I was a big baseball fan. My boys are big baseball fans, but I can't see paying a man $20 to get his name written on something.
Now, Pete Rose, I thought, was a nice guy until I went in one day, and he was at a card show, and I was working with this guy, and, you know, I'd played against him. So, and of course, I was president of the Tiger alumni, and he was involved with the Cincinnati alumni. So I waited till almost he was all through autographing, so I went up and I told the guy at the table who I was, and I just wanted to talk to Pete, you know, about his alumni organization, if he could give me some names of people I could contact to see how they were running it. So he said, well, you got to pay $10.
Oh, no.
And you get an autograph, and then he might talk to you and he might not. So I figured, well, hell, so I paid the guy $10, and I went up and talked to Pete. He signed a ball or something, I forget what it was, but then his stock went down real quick.
Well, you know, since he's come up with this...
And the people say he belongs in the Hall of Fame, I don't say.
Well...
I can't put him there.
No, I'm...
Put him in there against the guys, and next to guys like K-9 and Mantle and Mays and Aaron and guys like that in there, I just...
Different class.
There's class, and then there's the guys like Pete Rose, who...
Well,
he's a good ball player, but he didn't... He did things that class people don't do, and I don't think anybody but class players do.
He's hired a public relations firm to try to improve his image since the banishment. And... at least the propaganda I read, being in Lexington, Cincinnati's the home team, he has improved outwardly anyhow, but
that's a show.
Yeah.
Well, that's not Pete Rose.
There was a situation that I was told about by by the editor of this magazine. This is a magazine called Sports Collector's Digest, and it's geared to people who collect baseball cards and football cards and memorabilia. But the editor told me that he was at a card show somewhere, I don't know where, but Pete Rose was the signing guest, and a very overweight, retarded young man came up, and Rose, right there in front of everybody, made fun of the fellow.
Yeah.
You know, that right there is that's totally unforgivable.
Yeah, he's got, that's why I say he don't belong in there, because I don't care, he can say we're all about his stats and all that kind of thing, but he don't belong in there next to these other men.
Yeah, that's...
There's a difference between... You know, even early Wynn, as bad as he was, he didn't get in right away, and it took a long time for him to get in, mainly because of some of the things he did.
Yeah. Well, God, Bunning's not in.
Bunning's not in. That's a real surprise.
And he, well, he was a tough interview.
The writers didn't like him because he wouldn't talk to him.
Yeah. And that's... I guess that's what you're measured by, but that's not what you should be measured by. Well, that's neither here nor there. You had a nice, long career. 14 years in the major leagues, that's a whole lot longer than most guys make it. Do you have any regrets from your career?
No, not really. I had good years, mediocre years, had a good, long career. And I survived... came out of it full healthy and got a decent pension coming, not as good as the new guys, but everything's worked out good. I've had two bat practice with the Tigers for 25 years.
Wow.
Since I quit baseball.
Yeah.
And this coming year will be the first year I've missed in 25 years.
You've hung that up, huh?
So I still got an arm that's still could throw, and I'm still throwing bat practice for the college team right now, too. So.
Good, so...
Security on the side.
Well, sounds like a pretty good deal. Would you go back and do it again?
Oh, heck yeah. Nope, no sweat.
Good.
Yeah, no problem at all going back.
Well, that's good. I'd like to hear that. Those kind of answers.
Go back and make the same money and never complain about it.
That's good. That's good. Now the guys are making $3 million and complaining because the guy in the next locker is making $3.5 million.
Yeah, and neither one of them worth a shit.
That's right.
That's the problem. So don't mind giving the guy the kind of money, that kind of money, if he's worth anything, but, you know, it's, most of them are about, I'd say 90% of them ain't worth what they're getting, but they're getting it because the owner's willing to give it to them. So,
well, you can't
be in the same boat. If they're willing to give it to you, you might as well take it.
Yeah, you can't fault them for taking it.
No. The only thing I fault them with is their attitude after they take it.
Yes, yeah. And then the guys, they sign a contract, and then 6 months later they want to renegotiate it.
Because the guy, like you said, the guy next to him is, if he thinks he's a better pitcher or a better player than him, he's making $500,000 more, and he thinks it's unfair. Right?
Yes. Yeah, that's, I don't know.
They wanted a better straighten up, or they're all going broke.
I don't see how they can avoid it. Ryan Sandberg is an awfully good ball player, but
$7 million a year?
If they give him $7
million, well, but 1 year, it'll be, I think he's getting 28 for 4 years, or 28 for five, or something like that,
Too cotton picking much.
Too much. Well, they lose it, they don't have any desire to work.
Yeah, some of the fellas, they still put forth, and Sandberg may be one of those, but most of them,
there's not many.
No, that last year, that third year, that fourth year of the contract,
when the new one's coming up, then they give you a full year. Look at Reggie Jackson did about 10 years ago when he was with the Yankees. He had a 5-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
He had 4 bad years.
Yep.
The fifth year of his contract, around, what did he have? 42 home runs, drove in 140 runs for Oakland.
And he'll still get in the Hall of Fame.
You know, and that's when the new contract was due. But the 3 years before that, he didn't do crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had decent Octobers because that's what they called him. So. But the rest of the year, he could probably hit about 220 and stuff like that. Had about 15, 20 home runs. And, big. And when he knew he had to go renegotiate again, then he put it all in it.
I remember 1 year, several years ago, I think it was Gary Templeton when he was maybe still with the Cardinals. He wasn't getting as much money as he thought he should, and he came right out and said, since I'm not getting as much money as I think I'm worth, I'm not going to play as hard this year. And, you know, I guess if you're going to do it, you got to admire him for saying he's not going to do it. But,
the rest of them just do it.
yeah. But, what would you, after 4 or 5 years of winning in double figures, today you'd be worth, what, $3 million? Hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yeah. What?
It's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
Well, Ray, thank you for your time. I hope I haven't disrupted your evening.
I just decided to get your letter back to you, but I was going on this trip tomorrow, and I didn't know what date to tell you when you could call.
Well, it's good timing, then. I'm glad I called.
I'm going to have to leave it tomorrow night.
And where are you going?
We're going down to Ohio and Indiana. Go down and play Purdue and Xavier and the colleges down near Cincinnati.
Are you an NAIA school or NC2A?
Division 2.
Oh, okay. My son's in an NAIA school, and they don't get much in the way of road trips.
We're going down and play all the Division 1 schools for practice.
That should be fun.
So I've never been on those kind of trips before, but I've been on buses before. So.
Yeah, I bet you have. I hope the weather's good for you.
The weather report said it should be. We should get some weather down in the 50s, maybe. Middle 50s down in Ohio.
Oh, that's fine.
I know they're expecting that up here.
Okay, well, good. Have a good trip.
We'll do.
Do you want a couple more quick questions?
Yeah.
Do you want to see this before I send it to the magazine?
No.
You sure?
Copy the magazine or something.
Okay, how many copies of the magazine would you like?
A couple of them.
Okay, you want one for each kid or something?
Oh, no, just send me a couple of them. If they want to read, I'll let them read it.
Okay.
They don't like souvenirs.
Okay, it'll be probably 4 to 6 months from now before it appears. That's usually the time period between submission and publication.
Yeah, no problem.
But as soon as it is, we'll send you a couple of copies. And I really appreciate it. As I said in the letter, when I was a kid, I followed your career pretty closely. You were one of my favorite pitchers. I don't know why. I never tried to figure those things out. But I liked you, and I followed your career. And when I was a kid, you sent me an autographed picture. And I really appreciate it. I probably never said thank you. Pardon?
I didn't charge you for it, did I?
I don't think you did. I didn't pay for it anyhow. You may still be waiting for something. I really appreciate this.
Okay, no problem at all.
Okay, thank you, sir. Good night.